We're back. Pauline and Scott, I'm your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We need a meeting in Stouffville. Anybody out there who thinks there may be a few people in Stouffville who could come together and share a little bit of who they are so that they could grow and heal and be more valuable to their fellow man, their families, and so on and so forth, please get in touch with me and we'll get a meeting going up here. And I know quite a few people up here, so we have a couple of bonuses to work on. So you can get me at Scott, two T's, at sharingtheburden.ca anytime. Go to our website, check out some of our earlier broadcasts, see what we talk about, and if you're interested, and if you're interested in jail service, and you people who go to churches, and I understand there's a lot of people around Stouffville who go to churches, I believe that most churches believe that their people should be visiting the people in jail, and we have a way to help you to do just that. So, anyway, Scott at sharingtheburden.ca. Pauline, we spoke about the jail service, the jail ministry, as some people call it, what we do in there and how much we love it. It brings me to this step that we work on this month, which talks about being ready to change, being ready to have changes affected in us. In other words, in the next step, which is step seven, because it corresponds with the seventh month, which of course is July. And it has to do with being humble and going before whatever you believe your God is. In our case, usually the God of Scripture, the God of the Bible, but different from many others. And we not only respect that and want to hear from you people, we want you to be part of what we do. So don't ever feel set aside or put aside in any way by Sharing the Burden, because Sharing the Burden, although based on biblical principles, just like our laws in the free world, we respect and love everybody. And as we're taught, you know, we're all created equal. Doesn't matter what we believe in. So for those out there who are of different faith, please don't let that keep you away from us. Anyway, this month is about getting ready to go before that God and asking for whatever it is we've found in our inventory to not be so likable or absolutely hateful, whatever that may be. We want rid of it, you know, whether that be an anger problem, such as I've had a lot of my life, whether that be an addiction, whether that be a co-addiction, which is usually somebody who's trying to fix the person with the mainline addiction or better their lives by usually enabling them to get worse, but by what they deem to be helpful. So I'll never forget, as long as I live, when a psychiatrist said, "Scott, do you really want to help your son?" And I said, "Well, that's why I'm here." And he said, "Well, don't help him." And it stuck. It stuck so vividly, you know, and he didn't mean don't leave him, you know, just leave him to die or something. He meant you've got to give the person, you know, the dignity to fall down and be able to get him or herself back up on their own if they're capable. And if they're not capable, to reach out for help, and help will always be there. But until the addict, alcoholic, sick person reaches out, there is absolutely nothing you can do but make it worse by, you know, enabling them, feeding them while they use their money for drugs, putting a blanket on them to keep them from getting a cold because they were too drunk to put their own blanket on, and different things like this. We've got to live through the things that we create for ourselves in order to have the dignity to know, well, we survived, maybe with the help of God, but we survived, and we're going to go on. And, you know, I did do something on my own, and it made me realize I need people, too. Not only my God, I need people. So, and that's basically how that part of the program works. But anyway, we're in this readiness stage. Are we ready? What it's going to be like when we don't have this thing that we don't like. For instance, if my anger just fell away and I could never be angry again, I'd be quite worried, because I use it to stop things. When I see something coming, you know, I didn't realize this till recently. When I see something coming, you know, that I can feel emotion stirring in me, it jumps immediately to anger, and I you know, I get up and I make more noise, I talk louder, I get more pushy, my body language changes, the whole deal. And it usually, 99.9 sort of thing, ends whatever's going on there. And that is, in effect, what I, you know, deep down really wanted to do. I wanted to end this thing. And my way was to get angry. So now when I think, well, if I don't have that there, you know, what am I going to do? Because it appears that I couldn't really handle what was coming at me without getting emotional. And if I get emotional, it jumped to anger. So how am I going to protect myself if this stuff is just out of my life? So that's an example for you. So we ask, we pray, take this away, take this away, take this away. But we never have a good look at, well, what might it be like when it's gone, you know? So there we are. And today's reading says hate versus love. I believe the exact wording is removing hate. Pauline, you've had examples in your life, and I'm not going to ask you to draw them out, but where, you know, you had to make a decision to love somebody, something, because it wasn't lovable. You know, it didn't look lovable. It made us feel ill as opposed to loving. But we have to make that decision, even though the behavior of that person might be so distasteful, might be disgusting to us. You know, we're taught we've got to love that person, that entity, and we make that decision. And one of the notes I made here this morning was, well, you know, because we forgive, because we decide to love, you know, it doesn't mean that we condone whatever it is that the person, the entity, the institution is doing. So, do you understand that feeling?
Yeah.
That you have when you...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So...
It just... Yeah. It...
It's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, in order to get to the stage where you feel, if the word right word is hate, there's usually a lot of hurt that gets you to that.
Yeah.
And I would say, for me... For what I've experienced in the last couple of years, it's more heartache. It's more heartache than anything. I mean, I don't think I didn't hate anybody. I wasn't angry. I was just heartbroken.
Yeah, deep sadness.
Deep sadness. Yeah. Heartache. Yeah. Heartache. Just not understanding.
Yeah.
Totally. I could not understand.
Yeah.
And I still. I had to get past it, and I had to just say, that's okay. I don't understand. But thankfully, and it's so funny that, you know, that sharing the burden and being involved with the jails and everything kind of allowed me to grow. Mm-hmm. And so maybe if I hadn't been involved with sharing the burden and going into the jails, maybe I'd be more stuck. But, in being in the program, in a sense, it's helped me. And,
That's the idea too. Like for you folks out there, the programs, although they look like, and they do make us better able and more loving, more, you know, softer, gentler in a lot of ways, more forgiving. That is, you know, it kind of spells itself. I'm sort of thinking out loud, but we do solve our own problems in this helping these others, and it's proven out even though we didn't try to do that in essence. You know, originally, I think we just saw something that was, for whatever reason, was attractive or it was worth giving a shot to, and once on the inside, we realized that, you know, our attendance to these things is so worthwhile because people change, you know, and when people change and you're part of that effectiveness, whatever part that is, just being there, I don't know what it is. To me, it's magical, it's spiritual, but to be part of that is enough to change me.
Well, that's the thing, you think you're helping other people, and you are, but you're actually changing in the process as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And growing all the time and being able, like you are now, to look at some things and say, you know, that whole sense of, you know, of bitterness that I think we all feel from time to time. You know, I certainly have not spoken to many people in depth, in honesty, where they didn't admit, yeah, you know, I could have just as easily shot that person at one point in my life, you know, as look at them. And yet, an interesting line here in today's reading says, the bitterness threatens, in this case, it's talking, this is an addict talking, but it says, the bitterness threatens our recovery because it causes us to blame others for our problems. Now, when I thought about that, I thought about feelings right away, you know. So bitterness creates blame, which puts responsibility of our ugly feelings on others. And no one's behavior, no one's anything can make me feel anything. But who I am, you know, what I've lived and all the summation of that that makes Scott, when he's presented with a certain set of circumstances, bingo, bad feelings, you know. And it's easy to, whatever that trigger was, to blame that trigger. You know, it doesn't matter what it was. Bad person. Usually when I get angry today, in an instant, when I look at it, I can trace it back to, you know, most likely to my childhood and different things I lived through that caused me to be, you know, post-traumatically stressed out or for one thing, or, you know, or overly sad, or what's the word, you know, in a sense, depressed, really, but depressed feelings, even though it's not really depression. Anyway, it's interesting, and the whole bitterness scenario can turn into murder. You know, I don't mean that I ever felt like murdering anybody, but I see a lot of people in jail, you know, who, like, they got in a fight. I mean, they're sitting here humbly and eyes down and so on. And, you know, they got in a fight, probably liquored up, probably drunk, and somebody died. You know, I mean, you can push somebody and, you know, it's like I say, somebody died. It's still second degree murder, you know. I mean, you know, you could have been, especially in the system south of the border. I mean, you just happened to be one of the 15 people around when that guy did it. I mean, chances are most of the 15 are going down. You know what I mean? So, my point is circumstances prevail. Like you, anybody can be in there. And I say to the guys, especially every time, I say, you know what? You're in orange. I'm in blue or whatever I'm wearing and I get to leave. But for the grace of God, we could exchange those roles.
And it's funny, you know, just in thinking about sort of what we're talking about, going into the jail, and one of the things that we do towards the end of our meeting is we have a board or a sheet of paper that has a bunch of slogans on it. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the year, I would say each person gets a chance to look at these slogans, and they get it at every meeting, not mm-hmm. over the course of the year. But they get to talk, they get to pick a slogan, and they get to say, this one speaks to me today because of what I'm going through, and this relate, I can relate to this today because of this. And as you go around the room, if they want to talk about it, they do. And I think that, you know, my chances, the chances that I've had to talk about them, that's helped me too. Because so, you know, you're there for them, but you're getting so much out of it yourself, and you are able to share with them. Yep. And these slogans, I mean, there's so many things that are on these boards. I mean, you know.
Nothing changes.
And, you know, there but the grace of God and forgiveness and all these different words that are there, or slogans that are there, hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
And the more you read them, it kind of brings you down. It's like someone's calming you down and you gain perspective.
You do.
It's a settling, isn't it? It's a settling of our who we are, I guess, in a sense. But I know what you mean exactly. And I've often tried to attach a word to that, to what's going on there. But I can't, you know. I can't come up with a word. But somehow the slogans, and we use those just before the topic part of our program. In other words, a topic usually being this reading of the day that corresponds, you know, and biblically backed up and so on. But we do all these things prior to that, you know, reading the steps and the promises that we might attain to or will attain to if we work the program hard enough, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're at that place where we're getting ready to go deep, you know, in into our feelings. And these slogans, in you know, are a way to get enough of the group going deep so that the rest kind of follow suit. And by the time that's done, we're ready for the deep stuff, and you know, and the rest just happens naturally. And we know if we go to a meeting feeling like a bag of dirt, we're going to come out shining. We just know that. And after a while, I mean, if I'm really feeling bad, I'm wishing I could get into a jail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's amazing. You know? You sit down and as you work the program and as you're going through the different parts of it, it's amazing. A lot of them already know what they're going to talk about. They already know the slogan they're going to choose. So they don't even look at the page. They go, I already know what I'm going to say. I already know. Because they're prepared. They want to share. They want to say. It relates to something that's going on in their life, and they want to get it out there. And I just find, wow. And so when it comes to you as a, or you or me, Scott, and it's our chance to share, it's so easy to share.
Yeah.
Because you're like family with them, and even if it's somebody's first time in the room, because quite often there's a lot of new people that come, and it's so neat when they come. They always say, "Oh, I've heard so much about this program, and everyone's told me I have to come, and everyone says this is their favorite program in the jail, and blah blah blah." So when it comes and they're open to sharing, you share, it just feels so good, and I think in that. In the last year that I've been going into jail, it certainly helped me deal with a lot of the stuff that I've been going through.
Yeah. It's amazing because they learn to love us as much as we care for them. And when we go there on a bad day for us, they lift us up.
No, yeah.
Sure. You know what I mean? That's, you know, and I mean, they care, you know, like last night I went into the men's jail up there and, I had four guys out, which is probably about average for that particular type of grouping. But anyway, four guys are out, and I always tell them about losing my son, and not to make them feel bad, but to let them know that I'm serious about why I'm there. You know, I'm there because of tragic things that happen to people who go that way in life, and usually these guys are going that way in life too. So it's you know, to look at a guy who's same or younger than my son was when he passed away, and to look them in the eyes and say, well, you know, my son was doing that stuff too, and you know, maybe the last time you did that was the last time you're going to get away with it, you know, without ODing, or you know, and without someone being around to you know, to bring you back, shoot you up and bring you back. But it gets them immediately to a place where I can share, okay, here, you know, and that's what does it. So it's you know, either you've got to show some hurt in you to open the crowd faster, you know, or you have to know some way, some kind of magic. And I think we all, in ourselves, pray before we go into these places and, you know, ask for the right words and the right actions. And then we say, okay, now it's yours. We turn it over, you know, and then we go in. And whatever the outcome, it's fine with me, even if we don't get in. And that happens, you know.
And it's funny, you know, you talk about praying before you go in. Yeah. And I always find, like, in our notes that we have as the chair of the meeting, you have the option to pray at the beginning of the meeting or not pray at the beginning of the meeting.
Yep.
And so I always tell them, like, we're going to pray at the beginning of the meeting.
Yep.
And I think it really sets the tone.
Oh, it does.
I think it just really sets the tone, the humility and just that whole, the intent of the meeting is just to be, to share and to get something out of it and not to just come and go through a program, blah, 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 and move on. Like, there's deep meaning and a caring feeling. And it almost, I've been with people who've opened the meeting in prayer, and I just see the difference after that prayer. I look at the women and I just see they're already, the emotion is starting. And I just think it sets a really good tone for the meeting. And I just think sometimes if you skip past that, I think you lose something in the meeting.
Yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of the facilitators are not, you know, where some of us may be in our faith walks and just can't do that.
Right.
So, but it's a shame in that, you hear it all the time, like, Jay, I'll pray for you, you know, or Pauline, mm-hmm. yeah, thanks for telling me that, I'll pray for you. But the people don't know whether you ever do or not.
Right.
When you just, and I do what Pauline says there, you know, she states they're going to do it. I just do it. I rarely say anything. As a matter of fact, I say, this is how we open the meeting, and we say this prayer together, the Serenity Prayer, and, you know, which is known kind of throughout the world, just to sort of, you know, decide what's what I can change and what I can't, and leave the rest to our sense of God. But we do that, and then I just go right into it. These guys hear me praying for a better life for them, and they've more than likely never heard that in their whole lives, you know, and there are some people who've lived a faithful life and so on, and they have, but they're, by and large, they haven't. And the fact that they're hearing that you care enough or you believe strongly enough, it sets them in a place where, gee, maybe there's really something to this, you know?
And I think it's like, Scott, I know you and I've been there together when we've done this, where people are being released. And they're really scared. Some cases, they're doing their best, they're trying, but they've been in this safe environment for whether it's a year or a year and a half or 6 months, whatever it is, and now they're being released and they're afraid of what they're going back out to. And it's amazing. So in the sharing, somebody might say, well, I'm getting out, you know, next week, or I'm getting out on Thursday and I'm nervous. And you say to them, I know, Scott, we've said it, can we pray for you specifically? As you leave.
Yeah.
So as we are closing the meeting, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. We gather together, we touch, we put our arms around each other, we touch the person who's getting out, we pray for that one person.
Yeah.
The emotions that flood from that are huge. And that person feels, and I know, Scott, you pray for a hedge of protection around them, you like many things like that, and the emotion and the feeling of unity or like people care about them is so huge. And it kind of gives credibility to everything that we put into it, all the weeks of meeting this person and seeing them. And now you're leaving. Well, we care about you. We care. We're going to pray for you as you leave here because we know you've invested so much in yourself and we don't want to see you fail. We want you to know that, you know, we care and God cares. And, those are emotional moments.
Oh, yeah. They are. And with that emotional moment, I think we'll take a couple of moments to have hopefully not so much an emotional song, but a little bit of music here from 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Our production man, Jay, is going to take us away and give us some music, and we'll be back in about a minute or two.
Yeah, and we got a nice uplifting song for you. I know we played this song on the show before, George Michael and Faith.
Baby.
Please don't go away. You say I'm giving you the blues. Maybe.
have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because it doesn't have faith. I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because it doesn't have.